Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And on this Veterans Day, we note that 61% of vets voted for Trump in the election, 34% for Clinton. Vets, by the way, made up 13% of the electorate, according to the exit polls as published in the Washington Post. So we'll honor Veterans Day by opening the phones for veterans on what you want from the Trump administration. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And forgive me, everybody else who's still calling from the last segment. This one's for veterans on what you want from the Trump administration. 212-433-9692. Here's Paul Rykoff on Morning Edition today, founder and CEO of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
Well, veterans have become the ultimate populist issue. On the political campaign, Donald Trump was very consistent in talking about veterans and involving veterans, and I think it was a huge advantage, especially among moderates, especially among independents. Veterans are extremely popular, so I think a focus on veterans was good for his campaign, and I think it's going to be good for the future.
Paul Rykoff from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. So vets who voted for Trump, to the extent that veterans' issues had to do with it, call in and tell us why. 212-433-WNYC. I know that stat is pretty eye-popping. 61% of vets voted for Trump in the election, 34% for Clinton. That doesn't necessarily tell us whether this was about veterans' issues. Maybe vets just had to fall into other demographic groups. After all, the overwhelming percentage of vets are men, and men voted in about that percentage for Donald Trump. So we're talking about veterans' issues, and veterans get the floor. 212-433-WNYC. And for all the vets, what would you like the new president to know, and what would you like the new president and new Congress, for that matter, to do with respect to veterans' affairs? Here's more of Paul Rykoff from the IAVA on Morning Edition, talking about some of Trump's promises, like always having a live person at a veterans hotline at the White House.
They sound good, but execution, like with most things that politicians say, are going to be the hard part. And I think for veterans especially, we have been used to big promises and disappointing results, especially after the VA scandal. Fixing the VA might be one of the biggest challenges for President Trump. Every president says they're going to do it, yet we've still got a VA with backlogs and massive problems.
Paul Rykoff did note on Morning Edition that Trump alienated veterans when he said that thing about John McCain only being a hero because he was captured, and Trump prefers people who weren't captured. Vets who voted for Trump, why wasn't that downright disqualifying? Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton, our last guest, were talking about a double standard, different ways of judging people who come from different places and are of different genders? Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama had ever said such a thing about preferring people who weren't captured when talking about veterans? And how much did the VA hospital scandal have to do with it for any of you? Trump wants to turn the veterans' health programs into something like a voucher system, according to his website, where you have the option of the government's dime to see non-VA doctors. Some vets like that because of the failures of the VA system and because choice feels good. Some are opposed, worrying that that'll mean fewer doctors with specific vets-related specialties that the current VA system supports, specifically people dealing with artificial limbs and traumatic brain injuries and other things like that. So veterans, what do you want from the Trump administration? And since 61% of vets voted for Trump, according to the exit polls, you can call and tell us why, if it has to do with veterans' issues per se, at 212-433-WNYC. I'll throw in one more Rykoff clip on the difficulty Trump will have fulfilling his promises on one life and death veterans' issue in particular.
Well, veteran suicide is a national health emergency. And the fact that folks now know the estimate of 20 veterans a day is huge progress, thanks to activists who feel like we've been screaming from the mountaintops. But like most of the promises, you know, Donald Trump has made, actually getting down and fixing this problem is going to be really, really hard. It's going to require incredible cooperation across government, across the private sector, the medical community, the veterans community. And we don't have any specifics. We don't know who his VA secretary is going to be.
So, veterans, we thank you for your service, and we invite your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You'll be on the air right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our call in for veterans on Veterans Day on what you want from the Trump administration. And if you chose either candidate based on veterans' issues, what was that choice for you and why? Barbara in Norwood, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good to talk to you again. Yes, I am a U.S. Air Force veteran. So to answer your question of what expecting from Donald Trump, first that he not assume that all veterans supported him because they did not, though there were a good many. And that had to do with the Benghazi situation and also the proclivity of the Clintons not to necessarily salute the veterans as they should. And you notice the Republican presidents will and the Democratic ones tend to shake hands or something or disregard. But did he take upon his shoulders the seriousness of being commander-in-chief? Because that's what the president is. But the second thing is also, as I mentioned, to not assume that all the veterans supported him. And to continue adhering to his New York values, that's a quote-unquote, such as freedom of choice, such as freedom of marriage, freedom of partnership, and as well as far as fixing the VA, I agree with your voucher system. In fact, I've long held that what should happen is that we should have a health insurance for veterans. The premium can be based on the years of service served. For example, somebody who retired full-time from the military 25, 35 years should have it premium-free. And those people who served, say, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, then the premium can be based on that.
What's it like now?
I don't even go to the VA. I'm eligible. I don't even go, God forbid. Thankfully, I have a good health insurance that I can use. And it depends on where you go. For example, I have a Facebook friend. There's the VA is lying. There was a Facebook group, the VA is lying. And it's incredible. Somebody who was a Vietnam vet and was subjected to Agent Orange has a daughter with spina bifida, and the VA wouldn't even recognize the fact that the proximate cause of, because he was subjected to Agent Orange, it caused this birth defect in his child. There's a fellow in New Jersey. I'm on the Bergen County Veterans Advisory Board. There was a fellow, somebody came before us in like Mawar or something, New Jersey, who in Afghanistan was subjected to some sort of radiation in the bullets, the rounds that they shot, that caused him to be in such excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. The VA did nothing for him.
So the voucher system, and I'm going to have to move on to some other callers, but you think the voucher system would make it easier for vets to not have to prove every thing that they have was necessarily tied to something they saw in the service. They won't have to worry about it as much.
Absolutely, and it would get rid of the administrative costs of the VA.
Barbara, thank you very much. Chantel from Alaska, she has called us before from Alaska and is in Texas today. So, Chantel, you call us from a lot of far-flung places by a New Yorker standards. Hi.
Right. Hi, Brian. So it's nice to see you again.
And you're a vet?
I am a veteran. I served in the U.S. Army from 1996 to 2004. I deployed to Iraq in 2003. I was in communications. I did not vote for Trump, and I find that I recognize the numbers are that still the majority of those in the armed services are white men. And I think for those of us who don't sort of fit that mold of being a white male, we encounter different issues in the service, including racism. So when I think of what I want Trump to do, and actually I'm in Texas now visiting family, but I was volunteering for the Get Out the Vote campaign in Cleveland, Ohio, with the Clinton campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like Trump to do, I get great health care from the VA, and I'd like him to leave the VA alone. I think the VA works pretty well for most people, and I understand that in places there are problems, but fundamentally I want him to leave the VA alone because I think a lot of us really do get good care in the VA.
Chantel, thank you very much. A lot of people are calling about this issue. William in Lyndhurst, you're on WNYC. Hi, William.
How you doing?
Good. When did you serve?
1966 to 1968.
Were you in Vietnam?
Yes, I was.
Glad you're still here.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a problem. I'm a disabled veteran, and since I got out of the service in 68, I've had a problem on and off, and it continues. I do not use the VA unless it's absolutely necessary, and it's only associated specifically with the problem I have. But if they touch it, we have money to fund. We put billions of dollars into the military, but yet we seem to forget the troops that were there and the people that do have illnesses. I have a precursor for multiple myeloma because I was exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam. And I was denied benefit for that, but I don't have a problem with that because I don't have to worry about that because I went to a very good doctor in Hackensack University Hospital, and he told me, he says, you're all right until you're in your 80s. If I make my 80s, I'll be happy.
But if other vets are not happy with the coverage that they're getting from the VA, maybe they're denied for something that they can't prove to the VA satisfaction was service-related. Why wouldn't a voucher system be good for them?
Because the Veterans Administration has been accused of a lot of things over the last 50 years, almost 50 years that I've been associated with it, and they provide exceptional repair for people with prostheses and certain ailments that are not in the general public in this country.
William, thank you very much for joining us. And Matt says, on base in West Hampton Beach. There's a base? Forgive my ignorance about this. There's a base in West Hampton Beach?
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. It's actually an Air National Guard base, but we have a full-time contingent of people. We have 60s and 130s and some rescue personnel out here. Absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I, of course, on these issues, I have a lot of things. I was just trying to crush a morning workout listening to your show, and I got, like, viscerally angry just about a couple things I heard. So
Did it improve your times?
It did, actually. It did. Just on one thing, I understand all VA issues and veterans issues, but as far as the Trump administration, these things are selfish issues in a way. If we can see something of progress in letting the public know what the military is doing, I think that's really important. I know the Obama administration in general has been pretty close-lipped about some of the things we've been doing and what our foreign policy is, the intent of it. So I'd like the Trump administration to be a little bit more honest with the American public, which I'm a veteran, so I get to be in on these things. The other thing I did want to say just real quick is just about diversity. There is more diversity in the military than in any liberal institution, pretty much that I can think of, whether it be Ivy League colleges or progressive workplaces. And the military figures out how to deal with it, whether that be sexism or racism, on both sides, by the way. Sexist women and racist people of color, as well as racist white people and sexist men. And the military does a great job of working that out. So for this Veterans Day, I just want people to remember that. The military is usually the spearhead of most of the soldier progress that's out there.
Matt, thank you very much. And Nancy in Montclair, you're at WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You're a vet?
I am. I am a disabled vet. And I just wanted to, I agree with the last caller and my expectations for Trump, although I did not vote for him, is that he does provide support for the military. And I feel that in this country, if we could have a little bit more, I guess, pride in what we do for the military, but that is all to do with awareness. But the one thing that I wanted to touch on, because I am in the healthcare field and I do use the VA system, and in regards to the voucher system, it has not worked for me so far. I continuously chase to get my appointments. I'm still waiting on them to call me back from an appointment that I attempted to make 3 weeks ago. So that system is not working. Now, from being in the military healthcare side of the house, and knowing how it functions, I think one of the things that needs to be looked at is the institution itself and how it's, how the labor unions have a stronghold. And as a leader, getting the right people in the right seats is a challenge when you have such a stronghold. So, for instance, I called the VA last week, and I was hung up on because they were cleaning up their desk to leave. And they put me on hold, and then they hung up on me. But that's kind of the consistent theme is sometimes you just don't have people that you can get rid of.
Are you worried at all in that respect that Trump says he'll put a hiring freeze on federal employees and shrink the federal government by attrition? Are you afraid that that might make problems like that worse?
Well, I think just even coming from a New Jersey citizen, I think that the government is a little thick, and that obviously shows in our taxes. I think that right-sizing is always a positive thing. It's obviously done right and with stats and data that back it. I wouldn't, if there's a freeze, then there should be some analysis prior to that decision being made.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you happen to hear the last comment of the last caller where he said, if I got him right, the military does a good job of dealing with bias better than the civilian world, but he made a point of saying, you know, not just white racists but also black racists, not just male sexists but also female sexists. Did you hear that and have any reaction to it?
He is correct in the sense that the military is widely diverse. From a female standpoint in the service, there is some room for an improvement there. And from situations, and that's one of the reasons I did not vote for Trump, because I've been in a situation where someone overpowering, and it wasn't in the military, has said some things to me as a female, and I did not say anything because I couldn't say anything. I mm-hmm. left that institution because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some room for an improvement, obviously. There's room for improvement everywhere in this country.
Nancy, thank you so much for your call, and to all the vets who called in for your service, and to all of you who are just listening today. Hopefully, the Trump administration will do right by our veterans. Time will tell.